you're with us at the beginning of the year and the end of the school year, and that's where we are, the end of the school year. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, no, we had commencement last weekend. It went really, really well, and it's sort of like things come to a crashing halt when you have commencement. The faculty are around this week turning in grades. They were due on Monday, and then it just sort of gets quiet. And of course, in the office, we continue to work on all the things that we've sort of put off for the last month and a half, because the end of the school year is always kind of crazy. So it doesn't really slow down much in our office, but it's kind of sad to see campus a little quieter.
Another good year, though?
Yeah, another good year. Eighth consecutive year of enrollment growth. You know, we are right on the verge of 1,000 students. I think there are a lot of people who didn't think that was possible a few years ago. And all indications are our enrollment looks good for next fall as well. And so it'd be great to have over 1,000 students. Continued good support from alumni and donors. It's just maybe just a great time to retire. I don't know.
Well, I was going to get to that. When I heard the news that you announced your retirement, and it's not until the end of 2025, correct?
Right, December.
Many different emotions ran through. One of them was genuinely good for you. Good for you. I think you've been great for this university, and you've been at it for about a decade here.
Yeah.
And congrats, I guess. We're sad, too, though. Yeah. That's all right.
Sure. And I'm a little bit of me is sad, too. But certainly 10 years in this job, 31 years in higher education. It's been a great career. But it is, this job especially, is, I wouldn't say 24/7, but I don't have any hobbies. Does that tell you anything? And so I'm sort of looking forward to taking it easy and sort of seeing what God's call is for me for the rest of my life. And it may have something to do with education or it may not. But I hope always to be part of the Mount Marty University family. This is an amazing institution in an amazing city. I just love it here. Feel like I'll always be part of it if they'll have me. And I will do whatever I can to make sure Mount Marty continues to be successful in the future.
Is Missouri down the road for you?
It is, but just in Missouri. So my wife, Lisa, and I inherited her family farm that's been in her family for more than 100 years. And it's an hour south of Omaha. So it's just across the Missouri line, 5 miles to Iowa, 10 miles to Nebraska. And so that will be home base for us, but that's only 3.5 hours away from Yankton. And as long as the sisters are continuing to do their crafting sessions with my wife, I have a feeling that both of us will be back in Yankton a lot.
Won't it be wonderful to come back across that bridge and see Mount Marty and get back on campus? Those are going to be good times.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, it's Jonas Subergesi, our registrar, has always, commencement is my favorite day of the year by far. And so she said, you know, you can always come back every commencement and just sit over there with us, because so many of these young people I know, and you see them literally grow up during their time at Mount Marty, and some have asked me for advice, and some asked me for, you know, career help and things like that. And so just because I'm not going to be in the president's office anymore doesn't mean that I don't care about them and their success. And so I hope to continue to celebrate that as long as I can.
Is 10 years, is that longer than average for a university president?
Yeah, it's about twice as long. The national average now is 5 years. It used to be, you know, 100 years ago, you would have university presidents that would last for 30 and 40 years. That just doesn't happen anymore. I am the longest serving tied for the longest serving president in South Dakota, public or private university. Dr. Griffiths at Dakota State and I started the same month in 2015. And so that tells you there are 11, you know, four-year institutions, public and private, in South Dakota. And so you've seen their turnover there. In the GPAC, I'm fourth out of 12 institutions. So it is... Yeah, it's something where many times it's a challenging job. You sort of have a lot of people that you need to work with. There's accreditation, there's the regulators, there's also, you know, trustees and faculty and staff and donors and students. And so you have to keep a lot of balls in the air at the same time. Some people thrive on it. I think I have, but it is it's also pretty busy.
Might be a tough question for you. I'm going to limit you to one thing. Most proud of in your decade at Mount Marty. And I know it's tough because I think there's a long list. Most proud of.
Well, being a typical university president, I'll answer the question that I should have been asked in the first place, Jeff, and give you two.
I'll allow it.
Number one is the enrollment growth. I think that's simply amazing. Number two, the quality of our students, both at the graduate and undergraduate level. I mean, Mount Marty really is a successful small university now, in every sense of the word. You look at our doctoral programs, our master's programs, all the way down to our undergraduates coming in the door. The last 2 years have had over a 3.4 entering GPA. These are fantastic young women and men who are poised to change the world. And I just love how Mount Marty forms them in that Benedictine tradition. And it is, it's been great for me to walk with them on their journey, whether they're the 50-year-old nurse practitioner student or the 18-year-old freshman. Those souls are all very important.
I get a visit with so many Mount Marty people, and I see what you're talking about, especially in these students' eyes. And I know that right now they're just a student, and they're young, and they're green and all that, but I can see greatness budding.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm working with a couple of them now who you have to make sure they don't limit the possibilities, because you literally can do everything with a Mount Marty education. I had this conversation with a young man not too long ago who, for a minute, thought about an Ivy League graduate program. I said, don't limit yourself. Somebody has to go to those Ivy League institutions. Why not you? And he is absolutely capable of doing that. And so helping to raise those sights, given our geography, where we are, the small town sort of culture that we have, I'm a product of that too, right? I grew up in a town of 1,500 people in Missouri. But making sure that we continually raise those sights is an important part of what we do too.
Unfortunately, out of time already. Time goes by fast when you're in here.
Yeah, I talk a lot. But you know what, Jeff? I'll be back next fall.
Yes, true. This is not our last conversation.
It isn't. So I'll look forward to having an update on those enrollment numbers in September.
Can I pry just a little bit? Are you going to be a farmer down in Missouri now? Are you going to have some crops and some livestock?
So we will live on the farm, but I spent 18 years trying to get off the farm.
Okay.
So it's all rented out to Lisa's cousins. And so I get to look at cattle, but I don't have to do anything with
it. I'm going to suggest radio. I can see you being a really good morning show guy, political correspondent. You know.
I'd be happy to do. Nate, as long as I can do the afternoon show. I don't love mornings. Okay. So, you know, when you get here, I'm still slumbering away.
I wish you the best. I'm glad I got to know you and thankful for what you've done for Mount Marty.
Thanks, Jeff. Likewise.